Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. Fred Williams is on assignment. Hopefully, we'll be broadcasting for yet another year. This is September. We do our telethon to stay on the air. And I'm going to play an audio clip from Benny Hinn. You know the televangelist, Benny Hinn? So we'll play some audio from him since we're going to be asking for money. And he's the king of asking for money, right? Although he does it in such a despicable way that brings shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Although this week, apparently he's repented. So we'll play you some of that audio. Also, a few science headlines. Yet another scholar who is giving up Darwin. We have our classic list of scientists doubting Darwin. This is a Yale University professor, David Gelertner. And I have a quote from him that is so fabulous. He wrote an article, Giving Up Darwin, and his quote gives very concisely, it's what, three sentences? Scientific evidence that persuaded him that the theory has no support from observation. So we'll look at his three sentences out of his article. Also, the picky eggs, you know, an ovum. Human beings, God enabled us to reproduce, eternal creatures. How awesome is that? And he made the ovum so that when sperm cells are trying to fertilize the ovum is picky and it tries to only allow entrance to the sperm that has good copies of the genes that it has corrupted genes. That's stunning. We have a great little graphic with all these sperm around an ovum, and the ovum is saying, which one of these guys seems right? And then there's something about getting an insight, some bit of truth that you come across, and that truth, if in fact it's valid, enables you to see farther and deeper and more clearly on other issues. And that's happened for me so many times. Not only when I became a young earth creationist, of course, when looking at the overwhelming evidence, we have that on our website, Real Science Radio, rsr.org/evidence, the evidence for the global flood. Then when I realized that the fountains of the Great Deep Model was the best description known for how the global flood unfolded, that insight has helped me and so many in our audience understand hundreds of scientific matters and also understand history better. The Babylonians, the Sumerians, the Akkadians, they had their creation myths and their global flood myth, the Epic of Gilgamesh. And their creation myth was written, it was engraved on seven tablets. And these are big tablets. And basically, it's the 7 days of creation, 6 days, and then God rested. And on the sixth tablet, that's when man is created. Well, the Enuma Elish, I'm realizing that when we understand the global flood and the way God created on day two, when he made the firmament and what that was, and the waters below the earth, the crust of the earth, and the waters above the crust of the earth. And that, as the Bible says repeatedly, God made the earth, that is the crust of the earth, on top of the waters. And those waters from below, they are what became the fountains of the great deep that flooded the earth. So the Enuma Elish, I've just recently reread that, and it has struck me that unless you understand the hydroplate theory and how God created the earth and reserved the waters for judgment under the crust as a contingency if mankind became evil, once you understand that part of the creation in the flood, and then you read the Enuma Elish, you realize in their darkened recollection of the creation in the flood, they have the elements of the hydroplate theory there. And so these are things we want to talk about. And also Benny Hinn, in fact, why don't we play just the last few seconds of Benny Hinn basically repenting. A few years back, he was in Denver at the Coliseum, and he had his healing and miracles extravaganza. And Bob Benyart Live, I'm the pastor. What an honor to be the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We made signs. They were really big signs. We're good at making big signs. I mean, if you Google world's largest protest sign, you'll probably find one of our signs number one. So we put that on the side of the Rocky Mountains when Barack Obama came to Denver. DNC destroys unborn children. So we're good at making big signs. We made massive signs. And you want to make a good sign, don't put a sentence on it. Put just a few words at the most. So our signs said miracles for sale. And you could read them from a block away. They're big. And we had many of them. And we were handing out fabulous literature. And that was at Benny Hinn's event in Denver. And KOA Radio, the Rush Limbaugh affiliate for years, although now he's not on KOA any longer. It's on another Denver station. But KOA calls Bob Benyart Live and has a spokesman on for Benny Hinn and lets us go at it because they claim they healed a girl from Colorado who was born blind. And we pointed out that this was a lie. This is fraud. If it was real estate fraud, the city of Denver wouldn't rent the Coliseum. But it's fraud in the name of Jesus Christ. And they were happy to take Benny Hinn's money for that because it brings shame to the gospel. And the secular culture automatically knows that frauds like Benny Hinn are good for their hatred of God, because they turn many other people against the Lord. Anyway, our sign said miracles for sale. Listen to this little clip before we play the whole thing.
And the blessings of God are not for sale, and miracles are not for sale. Okay. And prosperity is not for sale.
Wow, so that's been his prosperity gospel for all these years. Right? Give money and you get rich. And that's the way it is, right? In the Bible, like John the Baptist, he was rich. Wasn't he rich? Jesus was rich. The apostles were rich. Peter and James and John in Jerusalem, they were rich. Weren't they rich? Oh, no. Paul's converts were taking collections for the believers who were in Jerusalem because they were in dire poverty. So a few details that the televangelist, the prosperity teachers, the miracle workers, a few details that they get wrong. Really, they get almost everything wrong. And for a few years, I was on the networks that had these televangelists. So we were on Bob Benyart Live, and we did our science shows throughout the last 28 years. We were on in 80 cities from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Tulsa, all over the country, Denver, a lot of fun, Indianapolis. And these televangelists, I even traveled with them, and I saw how it worked from the inside. And if they got sick, they were on sabbatical. They were on sabbatical. And if the network president's niece or nephew was born with Down syndrome, you think they bring the baby in to pray for the baby? They'd never do that. They can't heal liver spots or an ingrown toenail. They can't do it. So we'll play the rest of that audio in a few minutes. But here at Bob Benyart Live, we have taken in so far a few thousand dollars. Thank you so much to everyone who's given. Our goal is $40,000. Our last telethon, we came real close. It was about, I think, 37,000, 38,000. And I believe after the telethon ended, the end of September, people kept giving. And I think we crossed the threshold. So thank you so much. We need your help. We're on only one radio station. And then thanks to iTunes, Feedburner, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, you know, Alexa, open Bob Inyart Live, all these ways to stream the show, download the show, rsr.org. So many people could listen, but because we're not on 100 radio stations, we're on one out of Denver, Colorado. It's the most powerful Christian radio station in the country, but we really need your help. If you can possibly help, that would be tremendous. Our science resources, if you purchase them during this month, the purchase amount goes toward the telethon goal. If you subscribe to our Bible studies, our sermons, our topical videos, the old BEL televised classics, the TV show we did for years, you get them on DVD. Those subscriptions, that monthly fee, if it's $25 a month or $50, $35 a month, whatever you subscribe to, that goes to the telethon total also, but we multiply it by 10. So if you did a $50 subscription to one of our services, or if you said, I'd like to donate $50 a month, we multiply that by 10 and apply it to the goal, and that would put $500 toward our $40,000 goal. Because people subscribe or they set up a monthly donation, and we don't know how long they might last. Often people stay for years, and thank God that they do. Thank you guys so much. But to take a stab at it, we multiply the monthly amount by 10 and apply that to the telethon. Okay, so I wish Fred Williams were here, right? We did our list of scientists doubting Darwin just recently, and now another scholar just this summer, Yale University Professor David Gelertner, that's a weird name, G-E-L-E-R-N-T-E-R, Gelertner, he writes this article, Giving Up Darwin. You know, biology is increasingly understood in terms of information science. So from his relevant field, he's a rock star in his field, this Yale professor of computer science and a major contributor to parallel computing. So in biology, again, bioinformatics, biology is all about the science of information. And Professor Gelertner writes this, to help create a brand new form of organism, a mutation must affect a gene that does its job early and controls the expression of other genes that come into play later on as the organism grows. Now, that's a really good point. That's a point that most creationists don't make. I mean, if you read our creation books and our papers, you find it buried in there, but it's not a point that we bring to the forefront. And so I'm so thrilled this Yale University professor has written this. He says, if you're going to create a brand new life form, a brand new kind of organism, a mutation has to be one that has its effect early in the development of that organism. And then he continues, but mutations to these early acting strategic genes, which create the big body plan changes required by evolution, those mutations seem to be invariably fatal. That makes sense, right? You have, let's say you have a zebra, and you got a little zebra embryo, and maybe there's a mutation that affects its tail. You know, it has some kind of weird kinky hair in its tail. But what if the mutation affects how it develops as an embryo? Now it's a completely different ballgame. So he concludes here in this little excerpt that I've selected, evidently, there are a total of no examples in the literature of mutations that affect early development and the body plan as a whole and are not fatal. So what a great point. When he's talking about the literature, those are papers published in scientific journals. If you look at just journals involving biology, evolution, just those, and you think about the number of papers, it's in the millions. There are millions of papers published. And he is pointing out, now, has he read every paper? No, he hasn't. But he's a high-profile critic of Darwinism. And if there were a paper, believe me, we'd know about it by now. And he says, as far as I know, and I'm certain he's correct, there are a total of zero papers published by science journals of mutations that affect early development that are not fatal. Wow. All of Darwinism goes out the window right there. All of Darwinism. So that needs to be added to the RSR toolbox as a simple way to falsify evolution. For example, we encourage people to ask, how could you evolve a vital organ? In reality, vital organs cannot evolve because they're vital, and the human species has about a dozen vital organs, and not a one of them could evolve because the organism would be dead without it. And what are you going to have otherwise? Two respiratory systems, two circulatory systems, two... No, it's all ridiculous. So that will be in today's RSR show summary. Every week when we do another program, it appears online at rsr.org. If you subscribe to the podcast, let's say you use FeedBurner, however you do it, you get the podcast, you get a notification, there's a new episode. Also, it's helpful to go to the website, rsr.org, and you'll see the latest show summary right there. And we'll have this quote. We'll have a link to this Yale professor's article, Giving Up Darwin. And further, we'll add this to our list of scientists doubting Darwin. So there's just yet another scientist, in this case, yet another secular scientist, who has realized that Darwinism is false. It's been falsified. So before we get to the picky ovum, right, trying to decide which sperm has the good genes to cover up its own corrupted genes, that's an absolutely stunning discovery in the journal Genetics. So thrilling. And before we get to Enuma Elish, I'd like to play this Benny Hinn audio. And again, a few years back, he was in Denver at the Denver Coliseum, and we went out with our large signs, Miracles for Sale, as a rebuke to what he was doing. Here on this show, we're raising money to stay on the air. At Denver Bible Church, we raise money to pay the mortgage. In fact, if you need a deduction, a tax deduction, Real Science Radio is not recognized by the IRS as a tax-exempt organization. For example, if a politician supports the killing of unborn children, we say, don't support that politician. He's got blood on his hands. Because of stuff like that, you know, the IRS has their rules. I don't know that Denver Bible Church has ever bothered to actually look up those rules. But if you need a deduction, please don't hesitate to go online to denverbiblechurch.org. And you could donate right there, denverbiblechurch.org. But Real Science Radio right now is the focus. We need your help to stay on the air. And so we are asking for money. At church, we don't take a collection. I'm the pastor there. It's been many years, 10 years, since we have taken a collection. There's a little box in the back of the room, and we almost never talk about it. And we wish we didn't have to ask for funds on the radio broadcast, but we do. We try not to overdo it. But if you go to our website, rsr.org, click on the store, you will see the science department has the best of the best. We've been doing this for a long time, and what, 1,000 creation resources have been produced, books and videos, and we have selected only what we view as the absolute best of the best. So you can get resources there. If you subscribe to our monthly topical video, you get one or two videos a month, whatever level you subscribe at, then you'll get those science videos along with other really fascinating videos, including a number that we have produced at Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio. All right, so Benny Hinn will listen to his mea culpa, his repenting for begging for money, as he's done. We'll stop the tape a couple times. People have asked me, how sincere is this? And it's hard to say, The repentance itself is almost like a show. And the audience, they're out to lunch. The audience, they're nuts. I mean, he's repenting of how he's behaved for the last 30 years. And they're all laughing and cheering and happy. They should be in stunned silence. And there should even be some tears. If that exact audience, his studio audience, if they were back 3,000 years ago and David said, well, I have to repent. I just murdered Uriah the Hittite. I feel terrible. They'd all start cheering. They're sort of crazy. But let's see through the audience and listen to what Benny Hinn says.
And I will tell you now something that is going to shock you. I think it's an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it. I will never again ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amounts, because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it. Did you hear me? I think that hurts the gospel. So I'm making this statement for the first time in my life. And frankly, I don't care what people think about me anymore.
Well, yeah, he's worth $100 million. Why would he care?
I had a guy. Well, I'll tell you who. It was Dan Willis. I love Dan with all my heart. I said, don't you dare preach that message again.
So stop the tape. Stop the tape. So Benny Hinn's point there is that his friend, fellow preacher, is preaching something that he's now saying is inappropriate. I hope and pray he's sincere. I hope the Holy Spirit continues to work in his heart, in his mind, because he needs to repent for a lot more. If this is sincere, if what he's needed to repent of is, let's say, 100% of his bad public behavior, this is like repenting of 3% of it. So it's still a start. And he says, you all are going to be shocked. I've never said this before. Then he says it, and they're all laughing and cheering. And he says, are you hearing me? They're a bit delusional, but they're not part of the brightest audience in the country. Bob and you're live for 28 years. We've opened the show, Greetings to the Brightest Audience in the Country. He has produced the most dim-witted audience you could possibly have for people who name the name of Christ. They couldn't be more dim-witted. In the Bible, the problem in the first century was that the believers could not handle the meat. They were stuck with the milk. Today, the church is lactose intolerant. Today, the church can't even handle the milk. That's how bad it is. So his studio audience, his congregation, if you will, it's not a Denver Bible Church congregation. They're a bit dim-witted. But he's saying to his friend that he names, no less, don't preach that kind of sermon anymore. That's wrong. And his friend would have said, but Benny, I got it from you. Yeah, there are thousands of ministers in this country who try to be little Benny Hinn's, and they try to sell miracles and healing, and your loved one has cancer, your wife is dying, and you need to give and show God that you believe. I mean, those people should be flogged. They should be flogged for the shame they bring to the gospel. We have a page on our website, rsr.org/miracles. It's a summary of all the miracles in the Bible, and it really shocks a lot of people. So in this video of Benny Hinn repenting is right at the top of that page. Let's continue.
So when they invite me to telethons, I think they will not like me anymore. Am I shocking you? Good, let's have a high five on this one. If I hear one more time, break the back of debt with $1,000, I'm going to rebuke them.
Let's stop the tape there. So, break the back of debt with $1,000, that's one of their scams, right? You're in debt, you're desperate, your credit cards are maxed out, give $1,000. Give $1,000. You can't put $1,000 on your credit card? Well, do you have a diamond ring? Do you have an engagement ring? Do you have a wedding band? What could you send in? These scams, we've looked at Mike Murdoch, for example. I interviewed a guy who grew up in Mike Murdoch's home. And Mike Murdoch is one of the many frauds. And we talk about the televangelist frauds from time to time. And being on these Christian networks that were run by these faith healers, it did give me an inside perspective. And what you would think is exactly what was real. They couldn't heal anything. They never did. It was all a show. And if somebody was really sick, they disappeared. If a baby's born with spina bifida, or like I said earlier, this is an actual case, Down syndrome. And I knew the parents and the baby. Some of the workers at the network would say to me, Bob, why aren't they praying for the baby? Why don't they bring the baby in and have the televangelist who work here pray for the baby? And I said, they would never do that in a million years. They wouldn't do that. Like, why wouldn't they do that? I say, please think harder. All right. Read the plot. You know, my book, An Overview of the Bible, The Plot. If you don't have time to read the plot, read our article on miracles, kgov.com/miracles. They can't heal a toothache, like St. Augustine, who couldn't figure out why God was punishing him with a toothache. It's because, Augie, you eat too many sweets and you don't brush your teeth. There's no dental hygiene. That's why you got a toothache. It's not part of a vast eternal plan. So the televangelists have brought tremendous shame to the gospel. Let's hear a little more of Benny.
I think that's buying the gospel. That's buying the blessing. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. That's about all I will say. If you are not giving because you love Jesus, don't bother giving. I think giving has become such a gimmick, it's making me sick to my stomach.
Wow.
And I've been sick for a while too. I just couldn't say it. And now the lid is off. I've had it. You know why? I don't want to get to heaven and be rebuked. No, I think it's time we say it like it is. The gospel is not for sale. And the blessings of God are not for sale. And miracles are not for sale. And prosperity is not for sale.
Yeah, that's the prosperity gospel that he's been preaching for all these decades, which is a false teaching. Under this video on YouTube, we will post this video at the top of today's show summary, rsr.org. So you'll see it right there. Underneath will be my comment right now. It's the number one comment. It could get buried, but if you go there and you agree with it, perhaps you could give it a like and keep it up at the top. But someone has responded, well, perhaps Benny Hinn repented because it's always stuck in his mind that he was rebuked for selling miracles, miracles for sale. Who knows? But I hope it's real. That's the main thing. I hope it's real. But it was delivered as a showman would deliver his own repentance. So it's a bit awkward. Okay, so this paper published in the journal Genetics. This is astounding. These choosy ovum, these picky eggs, right? The human ovum, and this likely is true of other species. I don't even like calling us a species. I don't like calling us animals. I don't like calling us mammals. Classification we've seen from the shredding of Darwin's tree of life, right? Somebody took a stump grinder to the stump, so the base of the tree is in total disarray, and then the limbs of the tree have been thrown into a wood chipper. The whole tree is lying like sawdust on the ground. It's a total mess. So classifications actually come primarily from the mind of the designer. He's the one that decides what is like what and what is related to what else. And so human beings, we're not animals. You teach children that they're animals, and then you're shocked when they act like animals. I mean, how stupid is that? So we have similarities. I mean, we have similarities with the moon. You know, the moon has mass. We have mass. The moon is round. You are round. Well, not everybody, but some people are round. But that doesn't mean you're a moon. So yeah, there are similarities. There are even extended similarities. But human beings are body, soul, and spirit. Animals are not. Plants are only bodies. Animals are bodies and souls. Human beings are body, souls, and spirit. Angels are spirits. They don't have a body. So I don't even like calling us animals. I don't think God thinks of us as animals. No, he doesn't. But at any rate, human beings, when there's time for reproduction, and these gametes, these reproductive cells, the sperm cells, are racing up the fallopian tube to see which one could get to the ovum first. And there's this competition. And then a number of them are attempting to fertilize the ovum. And the ovum only allows one to fertilize it, generally speaking. Sometimes there's twinning, but generally speaking. And as soon as that happens, for one, there's this wild flash of light. It's a zinc flash. This was only discovered a couple years ago. Stunning. We have this in a YouTube video. You could see this happening. And then also there's an instant dramatic change to the ovum itself, and all the other sperm are rebuffed. It's so phenomenal. And it turns out that even though we human beings, like most organisms, we have about 20,000 genes, right? And they're scattered among billions of nucleotides. And whether or not a sperm possesses a good version of one of the ovum's damaged genes turns out to be a factor in whether or not that sperm will be able to fertilize the ovum. That is a control system. That's quality control. That's error correction beyond our ability to engineer. It's truly stunning. And that this is published, it's almost as though these atheistic science journals have become hymnals for churches. If the churches realize, most of them don't, sadly, they don't realize how doing raw science is a way to bring glory to God. And once the atheists realize that the billions they're spending, hundreds of billions in fundamental science, once they realize that it is always pointing away from atheism and toward our creator God, they're not going to be so excited to keep spending all this money on science. It really is awesome. So thank you, Lord, for that amazing bit of creative genius in the reproduction of eternal creatures, our brothers and sisters, human beings. And then the Babylonian Enuma Elish, we're out of time, but we'll get to this on a future show, how when we understand how God created in the 6 days of creation and he rested on the seventh, and what that firmament, that rakia was all about, and why the Bible says that God made the earth, he raka the earth above the waters. Isn't that interesting? And so there were waters below the rakia, the crust of the earth, the firmament, terra firma, and there were waters above, surface waters. And so you get to the Enuma Elish, and it says also, like the Bible does, these were pagans, idol worshippers, but it says that God made the earth on top of the waters. It's quoting the Bible. Three verses in the Bible say that explicitly, and that's an understanding that becomes crystal clear with the fountains of the great deep model of the global flood, because the terra firma, the crust of the earth, that was created on day two to separate the waters below from the waters above. So you know what the atheist scholars say? They say, oh, well, we figured out, we've discredited Moses, because here we have this Babylonian creation epic, and it's older than Moses, and clearly this is where Moses got his ideas from, right? Now, their epic is crazy, embellished with all these gods fighting one another, gods killing one another and splitting their bodies open, doing all this crazy stuff, and the creation account in Genesis is so utterly matter of fact. It's utterly matter of fact. And so when the secular scholars claim that They've discredited Moses because they found a perverse creation account that's sort of similar. What they haven't realized is that they have to do something other than provide evidence consistent with Moses in order to discredit him. Because think of it, if the creation occurred in the global flood, and then in the centuries after the flood, wouldn't you have populations that rejected the true God, but had some darkened account of how the creation and the flood actually happened? And they would write that down because it was a big deal to them. So their two gods, you know what their two gods are that start the whole thing? Apsu and Tiamat. They were the two waters that were commingled that were then separated by the firmament, the Rakia. And that Rakia and the ground below was named with the same name that heaven above was named, heaven. It was called heaven. And those two waters, well, isn't it the weirdest thing in the world that their creation epic would start with two gods that were the two waters? They were commingled, and then they were divided. And then the big battle in the Enuma Elish is when Marduk, when he fights Tiamat, and he brings his weapon. It says he brings his great weapon, the storm flood. And he uses the storm flood to kill Tiamat. It's all, I mean, it's too much. The global flood and the waters. And it's there's so much there in the Enuma Elish that is a darkened, pagan recollection of a framework that we understand from the creation account, the firmament of day two, and the global flood. And they got it all in their perversion. So if they want to discredit Moses, they have to do something other than provide evidence consistent with his account. Because if his account of creation and the global flood were true and mankind was rebelling against God, then you'd have the Enuma Elish. That's what you would have. So, and the funny thing is they haven't even figured out. They can't even recognize this because of their deep bias. And what they've actually done is they've actually produced a mountain of evidence consistent with Genesis. A mountain of evidence, and they think it's discrediting Moses. So, hey, we're out of time. Our telethon, we really could use your help. The website, rsr.org, rsr.org, if you click on the store, you could donate one time monthly. You could subscribe to one of our monthly resources or peruse our science department. It's so much fun. The resources are the best. Everything has a 30-day money-back guarantee. And, hey, somebody out there could probably help with $500. Perhaps, where's Benny Hinn? Perhaps $1,000, maybe more. It won't get you into heaven. It won't even help you lose 20 pounds. But it will help us stay on the air. And I will be so very grateful. So if you can help, please do. This is Bob Benyart for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the hand.